Well, good morning, everyone. If you would grab a hymn book, let's stand and turn to page 323. 323 is Standing on the Promises. 323. We're going to sing the first, third, and fourth verse. I felt bad for the third verse. You know, it usually doesn't get sung in a Baptist church, so we're going to sing it today, okay? First, third, and fourth. Standing on the promises of Christ my King, through eternal ages let His praises ring. Glory in the highest I will shout and sing. Standing on the promises of God, standing, standing, standing on the promises of God my Savior, standing, standing. I'm standing on the promises of God. On the third, standing on the promises of Christ the Lord, bound to Him eternally by love's strong cord, overcoming daily with the Spirit's sword. Standing on the promises of God, standing, standing, standing on the promises of God, my Savior, standing, standing. I'm standing on the promises of God, standing on the promises I cannot fall, listening every moment to the Spirit's call, resting in my Savior as my all in all. Standing on the promises of God, standing, standing, standing on the promises of God, my Savior, standing, standing. I'm standing on the promises of God.
Amen.
Amen. Thankful that those promises are trustworthy. We can rest in the good word of God, that what God promises, He will indeed accomplish for us and in us. Well, it's good to be here today. Good to be here with you. And we're thankful for God's grace and His mercy. We're thankful that the shepherds can be with us today. Will we please plead with you to pray for Brother Harry's mother, Pat Shepherd, and cancer is she's declining as we speak. And so please pray for her. God's grace in her life has been so, so beautiful. And so you please continue to pray for her and, of course, the Shepherd family. And again, it's good to have our visitors with us. If you're visiting with us today, we're grateful. God was pleased to bring you our way. We don't take that lightly. We appreciate you could be anywhere today, but God put you here, and so we're thankful for that. What we want to do right now is welcome each other. So please, church family, make sure you get around and welcome our visitors today. Amen.
Thank you.
Amen. If you'll return back to your seats, let's turn to page 216. 216, Dwelling in Beulah Land. Far away the noise of strife upon my ear is falling. Then I know the sins of earth beset on every hand. Doubt and fear and things of earth to me calling. None of these shall move me from Beulah Land. I'm living on the mountain underneath the cloudless sky. I'm drinking at the fountain that never shall run dry. Oh yes, I'm feasting on the manna from a bountiful supply. For I am dwelling in Beulah Land. Okay, don't forget, men, on that part, praise God. We actually have to praise God, sing it like we mean it, and say praise God, okay? So you shout that out when we get there. On the last. Viewing here the works of God, I sink in contemplation. Hearing now His blessed voice, I see the way He planned. Dwelling in the Spirit here, I learn of full salvation. Gladly will I tarry in Beulah Land. I'm living on the mountain underneath the cloudless sky. Praise God! I'm drinking at the fountain that never shall run dry. Oh yes, I'm feasting on the manna from a bountiful supply. For I am dwelling in Beulah Land. Amen. You can be seated. All right, please stand with us once more. Let's turn to 218. Living for Jesus. You know, when we live for Jesus, it's a joyous life. It doesn't mean it's all going to be pleasant, but it's always joyful when we do the right thing. So let's sing that as we're joyful. This is not a dirge. Living for Jesus, a life that is true.
Living for Jesus, a life that is true. Striving to please Him in all that I do. Yielding allegiance, glad-hearted and free. This is the pathway a blessing for me. O Jesus, Lord and Savior, I give myself to Thee. For Thou in Thy atonement didst give Thyself for me. I own no other master, my throne proud patron. My life I give henceforth to live, O Christ, for Thee alone.
On the last.
Living for Jesus through earth's little while, my dearest treasure, the light of His smile. Seeking the lost ones, He died to redeem. Bringing the weary to find rest in Him. O Jesus, Lord and Savior, I give myself to Thee. For Thou in Thy atonement didst give Thyself for me. I own no other master, my heart shall be Thy throne. My life I give henceforth to live, O Christ, for Thee alone.
Amen. You can be seated.
Amen. Well, all morning I've been running around trying to know when to put on my Curtis hat and then changed my pastor hat. Curtis and Teresa are taking a break. They should be back with us. They're planning to be back with us by this evening. So please pray for them. And so I'm here to give the announcements. Gentlemen, if you go ahead and prepare to receive our offering, we appreciate that. Several announcements, as you see. Even the front of the bulletin is an announcement. Announcement of some special meetings coming up in a few weeks, beginning on, make sure I say the right date. Do we even have it on there? June 11th through the 14th. And as you see, Evangelist Mark Thrift will be preaching for us. And on Sunday, we'll also have the gospel group Living Proof with us that day. We'll be having a fifth Sunday type schedule for that Sunday, and then on Monday through Wednesday we'll follow that. Brother Thrift will be preaching for us each evening at 7 o'clock, and we'll be talking more about that as we go along. You also received an insert in your bulletin today. And some things about the college. We have a graduation coming up also in just a few weeks. As you see, the different ones receiving some degrees. But also on the other side of that insert are some classes that we are trying to determine which we should offer in the coming semester. So if what I'd ask you to do, if you're interested in one of those classes, or maybe a couple of them, You might even put a number, but if there's more than one you're interested in, you might put in number one, number two, number three, as far as those that would be of most importance to you. We need to cover all these classes in the near future with the college, but if we can meet some needs for our church family and some interests that you have in those areas, the courses and the description of them are there. Well, this evening we have the privilege of having missionary Chris Bell in the evening service and his family. So please plan to be back for that. And then after the evening service, we have the bittersweet opportunity to celebrate with Janice Zimmerman as she's going to retire again. And we've surely appreciated her service to our church over the last 3 years as one of our secretaries, and so we're gonna celebrate her retirement this evening following the evening service. So please be back for that as well. Ladies Fellowship coming up Tuesday at 7 p.m. That's in the pastor's classroom. And then Metro Saints Thursday at 11 a.m. $5 for lunch. That's a pretty cheap deal for lunch. That's pretty good. And if you have any questions about that, you can ask the staff or Sandra McVeigh. And then we have a men's fellowship coming up. Yeah, us guys, we don't do too much like that. But we have a men's fellowship coming up Saturday morning, 9 a.m., and we'll be meeting back in the gym. We're going to have breakfast together and time of fellowship and time with the Lord as well, devotion. Brother Alan Webster is heading that up. Please see him if you have any questions. We need a couple cooks. I can do a little bit of cooking, but I can't cook at all. So if you can help out with that, please talk to Brother Alan. And youth camp, not too far away as well. Monday, June 5th, the young people will be leaving. And as you see the information about that, they'll be going to Southland Christian Camp again over in Ringgold, Louisiana. Young people look forward to going to Southland every year. Baptism. We're going to have a baptism service this morning immediately following the service, as we like to do, as the church can witness these ones making their profession in faith through following the Lord and believers' baptism. So please pray for these ones that will be baptized as well. Lots of announcements. It's good to be in God's house. It's always good to be where God is worshiped and His word is emphasized. Let's bow in prayer for our offering. Father, we thank you today for your blessings to us. You're a good God, a great God, continually ministering and doing for your children. And Father, I'm asking today to bless this offering. Would you be pleased to use it for your glory and honor? Help us, Father, to give generously, to give cheerfully, as we would prayerfully give to see the work of your work right here through Metropolitan Baptist Church continue. Father, we give to see this ministry go forward, but also that all of our missionaries will be taken care of as well. God, please bless this offering and bless every giver, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Lord bless you as you give. Thank you.
a pardon for me.
Projectors working last week? I think they were, weren't they? So maybe it's me. I come back from Georgia and the projectors aren't working. So you can blame me anyway. That's okay. I'll take it. We can be turning this morning, if you would, to Psalm 138. Excuse me, Psalm 139. In another place, we'll read. To begin this morning is from Lamentations, chapter 5, verse 21. Psalm 139 and verses 23 and 24. If you found your place there, please stand with me in reverence to God's good word. Of course, David, penning these words, and he cries to God, "Search me, O God, know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me. And lead me in the way everlasting." We'll look at that passage in a few moments. But also we read from Lamentations, words of Jeremiah, chapter 5 and verse 21. Listen to this. Jeremiah cries out to God here. He says, "Turn thou us unto thee, O Lord, and we shall be turned. Renew our days as of old." Father, we bow before you this one more time, asking you, Lord, to please, O God, out of your grace, out of your great mercy towards us, please, Lord, visit us. Your presence and your power. Grant your spirit to brood through this auditorium, dealing with our hearts, each one, every one. From this very pulpit, through the very excess of the building. Please, Lord. Oh God, we need you today. We're asking that you might be pleased to enter in and again accomplish your perfect and complete purposes and will. Lord, I pray for those who may be in our midst today that are yet without Christ. Oh God, please, would you deal with those lives today? Would you be pleased to draw savingly, gloriously, beautifully to yourself. And Lord, for every one of us, that we would be submissively obedient to you. We love you, Lord. Thank you for your amazing love for us. In Jesus' name, amen. And of course, you may be seated. Mentioned a little bit ago, we're going to begin some special time of meetings in just a few weeks. The evangelist has been lined up, Evangelist Mark Thrift, as we mentioned. Some great special music is planned, and from a human perspective, should be great. Should be a great time. But is that all we should anticipate? Is that all we might need? Should we be satisfied to just have a good meeting? Oh, I enjoy being in a good meeting, but I'm praying for more, and I'm asking you this morning. This morning's message is really all about asking you to do the same. Pray that God would do something special in our lives and in our church. Hopefully, we all understand here this morning that a few days of special meetings do not a revival make. It's not necessarily the automatic thing that revival, as we might put on the sign, would be experienced. The whole biblical concept of revival has to do with renewal, a refreshing, being renewed in our walk with God. When there is revival or renewal, there will also be a turning, as we read from lips or the pen, I should say, of Jeremiah. And where there is a turning, in this case, there is a returning, a renewing, a refreshing, a time of revival. The idea of revival means to be revived, to have a renewing of life, of vigor. And in this case, of spiritual revival, spiritual renewal, a spiritual refreshing that would go on. And as we read from from Lamentations by Jeremiah, he says, "Turn thou us unto thee. Turn thou us unto thee, O Lord." But he doesn't stop there. He makes this declaration, "And we shall be turned." Beloved, when God does a work, it gets done. When God is pleased to deal with a heart, it gets dealt with. And I want my heart dealt with. I want my life dealt with. I'm committing myself, beloved. I'm committing myself to seriously pray for this upcoming meeting. I'm asking, please, I'm asking Metropolitan Baptist Church to commit itself to pray as well, to seek God for His visitation with us. This morning, I'm going to suggest some specific areas for us to seek God about. Ask the question, are we prepared for a work of God in our lives? Are we prepared? Are we ready for God to do something? I often wonder if we don't experience something special from God because we don't expect something special from God. There's some keys to personal and even corporate revival that if we give ourselves to, if we commit ourselves to, that we individually, personally, can experience a reviving from God. And if God be pleased to breathe afresh upon us, even as a church, we can experience what we might call corporate revival. Oh my. Now, I'm not going to deal with these points that we'll look at this morning. I'm not going to deal with them in detail. Oh, we could, but I'm not going to deal with them in real detail. I'm going to lay them out for us and give some scripture and some explanation. But my desire today is for us to grasp these things and commit ourselves to pray along these lines. First, we need to ask God. I'm asking you to ask God for a deep conviction of personal sin. You say, preacher, I'm a Christian. Okay. We read a few moments ago from Psalm 139, verses 23 and 24. David was a saved man. David knew God. And yet he cries out, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. He asked God, see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Huh? If it's okay for David to pray such a prayer, would it not be okay for you and I to pray that prayer? King David, are we open? Now listen to this. Are we open to have God show us those things in our lives that, hey, we might well need to deal with? You say, preacher, you've left off teaching and preaching and you've gone to meddling now. So be it. I was in Sunday school class and I was trying to be careful I didn't step on one of the ladies' toes. I said, I'm going to wait till I preach to do that. We need our toes stepped on. We need to give our ear to the Lord. Allow Him to show us those things in our lives that we might well need to deal with. Those things that may be hindering me and hindering your walk with the Lord. If we're willing to have Him show us, then we also must be willing to deal with those things that He reveals. Ask God for a deep conviction of personal sin. But along with that, secondly, we need to ask God to grant a genuine personal repentance. Oh, there you go, preaching that repentance stuff. Yeah, sure am. In Acts chapter 11 and verse 18, there's the apostle Peter has just, in chapter 10, he's been to the household of a Roman soldier by the name of Cornelius. And in as he went to that house, again, the house of a Gentile. And folks were saved. Oh, he preached Jesus and folks were saved. But then his Jewish brethren didn't like that so much. What are you doing going off to share our Jesus with those Gentiles? So when he got back to Jerusalem, we find in chapter 11 that he went back and he rehearsed everything with them that God had done and how that he had preached the Lord Jesus Christ. And when these Gentiles, of all things, heard the gospel, guess what? They got saved. Amen. In Acts chapter 11, verse 18, is how these men, how those leaders in that church received it. It said, when they heard these things, they held their peace. Well, they couldn't argue with what Peter showed them, what Peter told them. They held their peace and glorified God, saying, then hath God also to the Gentiles granted repentance unto life. Repentance. Oh my. Whew. We rejoice, don't we? We rejoice that God will save anyone that will come to Him by faith, trusting the Lord Jesus Christ to save them from their sin. But just what is the place of repentance in salvation? What's the place of repentance in my life today? I've been saved 40 some years. But beloved, I want to tell you, I'm still repenting. There's still a daily dealing with sin in my life. Don't look at me that way. You all sinners too. But I'm a sinner that's been saved by grace. But I still got things I'm dealing with along the way. God's still putting His finger on things in my life that need to be dealt with. But what is the place here? Is repentance a New Testament teaching at all? Well, I wouldn't mention it if I didn't think it was. Jesus gave instructions before He returned to glory. Before He ascended back to that place at the right hand of His Father, He gave some very specific and clear instructions to the apostles and the leaders in that first church in Jerusalem. And in Luke chapter 24, verse 47, He says this to them. Again, He's about to return to His Father. And in Luke 24, verse 47, He gives instructions concerning the message that they were to preach. And He says, in that repentance and remission of sins. What He's talking about, forgiveness. Hey, did you need forgiveness? I sure did. Repentance and remission of sins should be preached in His name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Huh? Where was repentance and remission of sins to be preached? Everywhere. Huh? Everywhere, to all peoples. Not just Jews. Not just folks over 6 foot. Not just folks with green eyes. Huh? To everyone. To all nations. We're to hear this message of repentance and remission or forgiveness of sins. You may ask, well, just what is repentance? What do you mean by that word? We don't want to take that for granted. Beloved, repentance is that heartfelt understanding that it is sin. Beloved, it is sin. Not just sin in the generic sense, but my sin, your sin, is that which separates us from our God. Huh? Sin is that breaking or transgressing of the Word of God, as 1 John tells us. Repentance is that heartfelt understanding then that sin separates us from our God, and that sin indeed is ugly and needs to be confessed, and not just confessed, but forsaken. Where the Lord grants that conviction of sin, that understanding of how ugly sin is, beloved, there will also be a desire to be done with it. To be done with sin. To be rid of sin in our lives. In Proverbs chapter 28 and verse 13, we read this. He that covereth his sins shall not prosper. Now, I understand. You're not supposed to talk about sin anymore. It's not a popular message. And if you want to be a popular preacher, you better not mention sin. Hey, you won't hear messages on sin in a lot of places on a Sunday. But what does the Bible tell you? Tell you, tell me. You try to cover your sin, and you will not prosper. Sin must be dealt with. You want to get to glory? When you take your last breath on this earth planet, sin must be dealt with. Either you're going to pay the price of your sin, and that will take you, hey, because you sinned against a divine, perfect God, an eternal God, it'll take you an eternity as a finite being to pay that price. Lest one pay that price for you. Huh? Repentance is an understanding the ugliness, the awfulness of sin. In Proverbs 28:13 says, he that covereth his sin shall not prosper. But hallelujah for them little words that we like to emphasize. The verse goes on to say, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. Huh? Those that say, yes, Lord, I'm a sinner. My sin is ugly. My sin separates me from fellowship with you. And I'm sick of it. I don't want any more to do with my sin. Huh? Forsake it. Repentance is understanding the ugliness and the awfulness of sin. Lord, I know that this sin has done to me. And this willingness to turn from it. But we don't just turn to a vacuum, do we? We turn in faith to the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who paid the price. The divine, perfect, almighty, eternal, infinite Son of God, who had the ability by his sacrifice to have a payment. Hey, a sufficient payment for our sin. Yes, indeed. In salvation, beloved, there's that merging, that coming together of repentance and faith, that heartfelt confessing and forsaking of sin while turning to Christ. Believing the promise that Jesus made, whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but, hey, might someday, maybe, possibly, no, shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Yes, indeed. The promises of God. Hey, please, Lord, help me. Have a repentant spirit, even as someone that's been saved all these years. Lord, I don't want you to ever quit working with me. That's right. But then thirdly, we need to pray, oh my. Pray that God would have complete liberty in our lives. Pray that God, Lord, here I am. Do with me what you be pleased. In that sense, that he would have liberty to work in our hearts. Again, what the David write there in Psalm 120 or 139, verse 23. Search me, O God. Know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. Huh? Essentially, it's saying, here I am, Lord. And as if it limits God. God knows everything and all about Jim Turner. But there's a difference between his knowledge and my willingness to allow him to do in me what he be pleased. Job confessed, oh my, remember Job. Those friends that he had, quote unquote friends. Cynical at best, his three cynical miserable companions. But Job confessed to his three comforters. Chapter 31, verse 6. Now listen to this. He says, let me be weighed in an even balance. The idea is, let me be weighed in an honest balance. I'm willing, Lord, to be weighed by you. Let me be weighed in an even balance, that God may know mine integrity. The idea is, I'm an open book, Lord. You see me. You deal with me as you would be pleased to deal with me. David said, search me, O God, and know my heart. Oh my. I confess I don't know how much God really wants my rotten old heart, to be truth. But what he does want is for us to be totally and completely surrendered to him. God, you have liberty, freedom to do with me as you be pleased to do. Oh my, Will we give God freedom? Just give him, Lord, I want to be used. Do with me as you be pleased. Then fourthly, would we pray for a spiritual hunger? Pray for a spiritual hunger for God. Stick with me. Pray for a spiritual hunger for God. Oh, you're probably familiar with those beautiful words from Psalm 42. David there opens that psalm, beautiful psalm, in verse 1. He says, as the hart, or the deer, as the hart panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul for thee, O God. Oh my. Can you imagine it? Is it safe to speak that I have spent some time in the woods hunting Bambi? Yes, indeed. And the deer are beautiful. They're beautiful. I just love to watch them. Yes, I like venison, but I love to watch them. Watch them running. And then there's times when we lived in Pennsylvania, we lived right along a beautiful trout stream. And I don't know how many times I'd go down by that stream. Often I'd seen this. And down along the stream, there would be a deer standing right there in the stream. Gorgeous sight. Come to get a water break. Huh? We understand. We understand what it's like. Hey, we live in Texas. We understand what it's like on a hot, dry day. And oh my, you're out in the yard or you're doing something around the house or whatever. It may be on the job. You haven't been able to get a drink. And then you finally get to that place. Somebody gives you a bottle of water or a glass. And you don't even sense the first part of it going down. And you're ready for a second. Huh? As the heart panteth for the water brook. As the deer long for that drink. So panteth, so longeth my soul for thee, O God. When we pray that God would give us such a thirst, such a hunger for him. Let me ask you. What do you want more than anything else in your life? Huh? Don't speak out, please. I know that might be that shiny new Cadillac or whatever it is, that 70-inch flat screen. Be careful. What do you want more than anything else in your life? Your answer to that question is what is most important to you. Might we pray, God, please give us a thirst and a hunger for you. That more than anything else on this earth planet, we'd want him. And that's it. Hey, I pray, God, please grant me a sense of your presence in my being. In my heart, in the very depths of my soul, might I know that God is working in me. So panteth my soul for thee, O God. David cried in another psalm, in Psalm 84, verse 2. Similar words. He said, my soul longeth. Yea, even fainteth for the courts of my Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. Oh, might we pray such prayers? Might this preacher pray such prayers? Let me ask you. Trick question. Just when do we become too fanatical about the things of God? Huh? When do we become too fanatical about the things of God? You all know I'm a Rangers fan. What's that mean? I'm a Ranger fanatic. Yeah, they're even winning a few games lately. Hey, praise God. But whether they win or lose doesn't change eternity a lick. Huh? Having that shiny new car. Oh my, I'd understand. There's times we have to trade in old Betsy for a new Nelly. It happens sometimes. It just happens. Time comes. But you know, we just drove back from Georgia on Wednesday. Guess what? There's BMWs and Mercedes sitting along the side of the road, just like there are those old Fords like my truck. Huh? They all break down. Huh? But one thing that will never perish is my relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Huh? When do we become too fanatical? When have we given too much to the one who's given everything for us? I don't believe Jim Turner's reached that place yet. I got a ways to go. Oh my, who are we sold out for? But then, fifthly, we also need to pray that God would unite our hearts. Unify us as a people. Unify us as a church. Paul wrote to that local church that was there in the city of Ephesus, the edge of Asia. He wrote there to them and he said, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, one Paul that bore that chain in Rome, wrote these words, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord. Yes, he says, he's reminding them, I have this chain because of my love for Jesus. My dedication to preach the gospel, right? Just like I did right there in Ephesus. He says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you, I beg you, that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. Preachers aren't the only ones that are called to live for God. Are you saved this morning? Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? It's your calling to live for Him. To walk worthy of that calling. Huh? Worthy. The lovely name of Jesus. Oh my. As a church, might we commit that we are going to unite for the cause of Christ. The cause of Christ. And moving along quickly, we need to also pray. Now listen, we need to pray for a passion for souls. We've been talking about this in our Wednesday night Bible studies. How to pray for the lost. We need to pray, God, give us a passion for souls. The Apostle Paul wrote to that church in Rome in chapter 10 and verse 1. And he says, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God is for Israel, that they might be saved. Paul longed. He had a passion for the souls of his countrymen. How does our heart? Listen to me. Listen to this. How does our heart respond to the fact that over 150,000 people die every day? That breaks down to over 6,300 every hour that perish from this earth planet. The first question that comes to my mind, I wonder, how many of those go off into eternity without Christ? Huh? Well, preacher, maybe they were a good Buddhist. Isn't that okay? Maybe they were a good Muslim. Maybe they were a good Hindu. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, in the light. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You say, well, that's so narrow-minded. No, it's Bible. It's the Bible. Huh? How many ways are there to God? One. Through God's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Do we have a passion for souls? Do we have a passion for souls? Oh my, in a little while we're going to baptize some young people. I think there's 6 or 7 of them. Praise God. And saved through the Sunday school ministries. Hallelujah. Beloved, that's 6 or 7 souls whose destinies, listen to me, their eternal destinies were altered, were changed.
Amen.
Huh? Hallelujah. As a church, we should be excited about that. Heaven gets excited, shouldn't we? Yes, indeed. Praise the Lord. A passion for the lost. But with that passion, along with that passion, we should also simply pray, God save. Pray that God would save souls. Instruction to us is to do just that. Paul, writing to Timothy, who was pastoring, we believe, in Ephesus at the time, he writes to him in 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 1, he says this. Paul says, I exhort, therefore, I challenge, I essentially command. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks made for all men. Then if you skip down to the 4th verse, speaking of God, as we seek Him, who will have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Yes, we need to pray, beloved, that God would save. But we'll never do it until we have that passion, that burn, that heart's desire that others' destinies would be changed. 42 years ago, 43 years ago, God was pleased to work in this sinner's life and change my eternity. Someone prayed for me. Folks told me about Jesus. Can't we do that for others? Can't we do that for others? Pray that souls would be saved. Oh my, I'm hurrying. Pray that God would call folks out as servants right here. Pray that God would call folks out of here. You know, in chapter 13 of the book of Acts, we have that tremendous church at Antioch. Antioch of Syria, of all places. Fantastic church. And amongst the preachers that were in that church was a man named Barnabas and another man by the name of Saul. Later became known as Paul. And God was pleased to call them out of that church. Separate them in that sense from their duties there in Antioch, the church at Antioch, to a different ministry, an evangelistic ministry, what we call a missions ministry. But beloved, we don't just need folks that would go to the other side of this earth planet. We need folks that would rise up and serve Christ right here as well. Hey, anytime you would like to go knock doors, you can call Brother Flores. They will set you up and take you with them on Saturday. What a blessing it is. And along the way, you just might meet somebody that has a hunger for God. That God has prepared us. Hey, be mindful of Brother Daniel's testimony a few Sunday nights ago. So he testified of how what one day someone knocked on the florist's door. And a rough kid, can I call him a kid, let them in. And they told him about Jesus. And Daniel and Michelle were saved. Uh-huh. God's still saving folks. God's still in the life-changing business. And we can be involved in that business. Pray. God would raise up workers right out of our midst, beloved. We're almost done. Pray. Pray that God might be pleased to use Metropolitan Baptist Church in this community. How much impact are we having in Lake Worth and Fort Worth, Texas? You see, beloved, we need to be more than just a symbolical image on the top of this hill. We need to be a reality of making impact in this city. You can do that. You know, I get locked up back there in the cave. At least that's what I call my office at the end of the hall. Pastor's cave. I'm back there studying and doing this and that. But you are out in this community. Brother Bruce and David as well were over just across the street working at Richie Brothers auction this week. And I don't know how much, what all is going to come of this, but Bruce called and he said, "Preacher, what time is that reception for Andrew and Caitlin in July?" I had to ask Marcia. We need to be continually working to introduce people to what's going on here. Whatever way we can. Again, we're having meetings here in a few weeks. We need to be inviting those friends, those neighbors, those family members. I guarantee, I know Mark Thrift. He's a preaching machine. He'll preach the gospel. He will tell folks about Jesus. And if you want your loved ones to come under the sound of the gospel, you want that fellow you work with to hear the gospel, invite them to those meetings. It'd be a great Sunday morning, it'd be a great time. It'd be a great day. Might just kick off something to get them interested in the rest of the week. You know, somebody invited me. Here we go. I told my Sunday school class just one more story. Early 1970s. Marcia's in children's church this morning, but Marcia and I, well, I'll speak for Jim. I won't speak for Marcia. I didn't care nothing. I didn't know anything about God. I didn't care nothing about God. Didn't give a flip. But I had a father-in-law that asked me to go to some evangelistic meetings. Back in the days when Jack Van Impe was doing citywide crusades. He don't do that anymore, but he used to do that. And my father-in-law, he got all fired up and involved in that. And he talked Marcia and I into coming to those crusades. Beloved, it was one of those first times God started chipping away at the heart of Jim Turner. I didn't get saved. But within months, I was saved. Within months, I was saved. It's one of those things God used in my life because somebody was praying for me and invited me to a place where I'd hear the gospel. Pray that the Holy Spirit would use our church and the community. But then lastly, I don't know what God would be pleased to do during those meetings. I don't know. But I'm praying that whatever He does, I'm expecting that He will. I'm anticipating that He is going to work in our hearts, in our lives. I know we will if we come prayed up and ready to hear. But I'm praying that what takes place during those days will have a lasting effect. We've all been to special meetings at churches and in our own church, and it's great. We enjoy it, and there may be a stirring. But beloved, I'm praying for more than a stirring. I'm praying for a tidal wave, a drenching of a tidal wave to wash over us. A washing by the Holy Spirit of God to do something, to stir, to make an impact. Listen to me, to make an impact that none of us would ever get over. Huh? There's been times along the way in my life that happened in meetings. Huh? I was in, again, here goes another story. I was sitting in a meeting, and a preacher starts preaching on 2 Timothy 1, verse 7. Here I'm working at General Motors. Man, I've got 16 years or so, 17 years in at the General Motors, and life is good. And I'm sitting back there preaching, and he has the nerve to preach, oh, God has not given us a spirit of fear. You see, back here, in the recesses of my mind and heart, I knew God wanted me to surrender to His service. But I had every rationale. I rationalized it. I reasoned it. Why that wouldn't be a good idea. But then that preacher, he had the nerve to preach on God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. In that meeting, God delivered me from my fear. Whatever you want, Lord, I'll do it. Whatever you want, Lord, I'll do it. It's about 26 years ago, 27 years ago. I'm not second guessing God. I'm not trying to throw one of those what ifs, but what if I wouldn't have gone to that meeting? What if I wouldn't have just said, God, here I am. I want to be used. What if? Tell you what if, I wouldn't be here today. I wouldn't be standing here today, beloved, behind a holy desk with the privilege of preaching the Word of God. Pray. God would do something that we'd never get over. What did Jeremiah say in his lamentation? Turn us unto thee, O Lord. Turn us unto thee, O Lord, and we shall be turned. God does it. It gets done. Let me ask you this morning, will you commit with me to pray for this conference? Say, why are you making such a big deal out of this? Shouldn't we? Shouldn't we? Shouldn't we want God to do something unique? Shouldn't we want God to work? Shouldn't we want God to save souls? Oh my, I guarantee you, you're going to hear the Word of God. Mark Thrift is a tremendous preacher. But we need to seek God for His blessing upon Mark Thrift. Mark Thrift doesn't come with God's blessing in his pocket. If God the Holy Spirit isn't pleased to enter in and do and work and bless, there won't be mess. Won't be any blessing. We need to pray. Please pray for Mark Thrift. Pray for your pastor. I want to say it right. One of the most fearful tasks in a meeting like that is being sensitive as moderator to the Holy Spirit. To be able to sense what does God wanting to do. Please pray for your pastor as well. Oh my. Please. Please invite folks. Bring folks to hear the gospel, to hear the preaching of the Word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Yes. I'm asking you. I'm asking our church. Rearrange your schedule. Just 2 extra days. We here Sunday. Should be here Wednesday. So it's just an extra 2 days, Monday and Tuesday. Commit. Rearrange the schedule. Do what you need to do to be here. You know, I've been carrying around an old bookmarker I made up several years ago. And the message I preached this morning is right here on this bookmark. And I made some new ones this week. And they're back there on the table in the Welcome Center. Grab one of those, take it out, take it with you. But please, you say, well, I'll put that in my Bible. That's good, unless you don't open your Bible all week. Huh? I want you to keep this close to you. When you have an opportunity, look at it. There's scriptures on one side and this message on the other side. Use it to help you these next few weeks. Pray for the Lord to move and work in our midst. And when God's pleased to move, He will move. And He'll move in response to God's people desiring Him. Before I close, I cannot fail to say this. If you're here this morning without Christ, you don't know Christ as your Savior. I'm one that can tell you He's the most wonderful thing that ever happened in my life. Amen. He changed Jim Turner. He changed Jim Turner. You wouldn't have liked the old Jim Turner. I didn't like the old Jim Turner. And He can change you. Are you tired of sin? Do you need God's forgiveness? Again, God so loved the world. He gave His only begotten Son, Jesus, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Let's stand together. Father, we bow before You. Lord, I thank You for Your word. Thank You for the patience of these dear folk. Lord, I pray in Jesus' name that You'd be pleased, even at this moment. Deal with us, help us, Lord. It's our longing, our desire to have You do in our lives, do in our hearts. Lord, please. I pray for our church. I pray for those who may be visiting our church today for the first time. Pray, Lord. Oh God, whatever the need is, finish that work which You'd start in us. For those that are here without Christ, I pray that in some fashion, some way, we've been faithful to hold Him up today. How much He loves us. How much He's done for us. Pray, Father. Oh God, please, please do for souls. I pray for our church. Lord, I pray, oh God, might we fall deeper and deeper in love with Your Son who gave everything for us. We'll give You the glory, give You the honor for everything You do. In Jesus' name, amen. Brother John.
Page 243.
as we sing, these altars are open. Use them. There's nothing to be embarrassed about. Nothing to hesitate. God's dealing with your heart. Come, pray. Seek God's help. Seek His strength. And if you're here and you realize that you need Jesus today, we're here for you. Someone will take you, pray with you, point you to Jesus, show you what He's done for you. Please do what the Lord would have you to do. As we sing, obey Him.
I am resolved no longer to linger, charmed by the world's delight. Things that are higher, things that are nobler, these have allured my sight. I will hasten to Him, hasten so glad and free. Jesus, greatest, highest, I will come to Thee. I am resolved to go to the Savior, leaving my sin and strife. He is the true One, He is the just One, He hath the words of life. I will hasten to Him, hasten so glad and free. Jesus, greatest, highest, I will come to Thee. I am resolved to follow the Savior, faithful and true each day. Heed what He saith, do what He willeth, He is the living way. I will hasten to Him, hasten so glad and free. Jesus, greatest, highest, I will come to Thee.
534. As we sing these words, please, might they be our prayer this morning.
Search me, O God, and know my heart today. Try me, O Savior, know my thoughts, I pray. See if there be some wicked way in me. Cleanse me from every sin and set me free. On the last, oh, Holy Ghost, revival comes from Thee. Send a revival, start the work in me. Thy word declares that wilt supply our need. For blessings now, O Lord, I humbly plead.
Amen. Amen. You can be seated. I'm going to ask Michelle, when you get our sister back, would you take the young ladies, Michelle, to the ladies' changing room? And Brother Bruce, would you join me? All the young men, you can follow us this way. The ones that are young men are getting baptized. And I think there might be some others coming. You can follow Mr. Bruce here, Mr. Martin. Right. Please pray, Brother John, you come. And we'll get prepared for our baptism service.
All right, if you'll turn in your hymn book to page 391. Let's sing I'd Rather Have Jesus. 391. You can stand. It's okay. Let's stand.
I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. I'd rather be His than have riches untold. I'd rather have Jesus than houses or lands. I'd rather be led by His nail-pierced hand than to be the King of a vast domain, or be held in sin's dread sway. I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world affords today.
We're going to sing the third verse, but I need y'all to think of a song to sing next. So have a hymn ready, if you would, on the third.
He's fairer than lilies of rarest bloom. He's sweeter than honey from out the comb. He's all that my hungering spirit needs. I'd rather have Jesus and let Him lead than to be the King of a vast domain or be held in sin's dread sway. I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world affords today.
A song. I heard over here, 241. David, you got trumped by your mom. 281.
We have heard the joyful sound, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Spread the tidings all around, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Bear the news to every land, climb the steeps and cross the waves. Onward 'tis our Lord's command. Jesus saves, Jesus saves.
Let's sing the last. Y'all have another song ready if we need it.
Give the winds a mighty voice, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Let the nations now rejoice, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Shout salvation full and free, highest hills and deepest caves, lifts our song of victory. Jesus saves, Jesus saves.
One more. Oh, now I get 502. All right, y'all can be seated. 502. By the way, the rules are still in place. If I don't know it, you have to lead it. And can it be?
And can it be that I should gain an interest in the Savior's blood? Died he for me, who caused his pain for me, who him to death pursued? Amazing love, how can it be that thou, my God, shouldst die for me? Amazing love, how can it be that thou, my God, shouldst die for me?
All right, let's stand once more. Let's be dismissed with our chorus. I need thee every hour. On the chorus.
I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee.
You're dismissed.